Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for BBC News presenter Martine Croxall, who so infamously rejected the use of one of our current protected endangered word upgrades when she was giving a newscast recently in the UK.
London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine has released research which says that nearly 600 heat-related deaths are expected in the UK. Malcolm Mistry, who was involved in the research, says that the aged, pregnant people, women, and those with pre-existing health conditions need to take precautions.
Oh no, dear Otherin, this simply will not do. First of all, it should be obvious that anyone who will be entrusted with the privilege of representing the truth as we currently define it on a state-sponsored information channel must never, never be allowed to change the pre-approved verbiage of the holy and anointed teleprompter. Second, the fact that she not only did change the content, but acted as if her hurtful and marginalizing hate expression, pregnant women, was superior to the official and certified gender-optimal term, pregnant people, undid months of planning and repetition. You see, the real trick to introducing new terms is to do so in so blithe a manner as to make it seem like there isn't even a controversy. You must never make a big deal out of the replacement. For instance, one day you simply announce that, hey, this coming Saturday or Sunday is Birthing Person Day. You don't say, remember, it's Birthing Person Day now, as though it's strange to not call it Mother's Day. You act like nothing interesting is happening, and you certainly don't remind people that there's been a change. You say it with a straight face and no emotion whatsoever, the way the listener internally thinks, oh, I guess that's just how it is now. Nothing to see here. Move along, move along. The 26th principle of gaslighting requires you to treat the controversy as if it is so boring that people doubt their own sense that something significant has happened. You want them to think they're the weird ones for thinking that anybody else is the weird one. But then, of course, the fact that she not only stopped, eye-rolled, and incorrected herself by substituting the bigoted term for the more truthier one is an outrage. This clip went viral to the point that even an internationally designated level 1 transphobe like J.K. Rowling saw the clip and praised Martine Croxall for her unacceptable behavior. What's worse is that at least as of this morning's service, Croxall remains not only her employment at BBC, but is apparently still being allowed to go on the air, despite having proven herself to be a grade B language resistor at least. This amount of non-compliance simply must not be allowed. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Second, we want to take a moment and celebrate someone who really deserves a hero's welcome into the holy and revered Language Manipulation Hall of Fame, British weather researcher Gordon Manley. In 1958, while working on the discrepancies between rural and urban snowfall in the UK, Manley coined the phrase urban heat island to explain how the very structure of city development can affect the weather. Now, the concept, of course, is important, but what Manley really gave to the great pseudoscience of meteorology was the gift of inflammatory language. Yes, it took a little while for his innovation to catch on, but by the early 2010s, weathermen, weatherwomen, and weather whatevers around the world had begun implementing a whole host of spiffy new terms for boring, stodgy, old, ordinary weather phenomena. Today, we have seen the complete emotionalization of the entire field in such a delightfully language-shifting way. Terms like polar vortex, firenado, derecho, atmospheric river, squall line, acid rain, explosive cyclogenesis, gustnado, landspout, and bomb cyclone have all become incorporated into the fear-mongering we demand of our 24-hour weather cycle. But the one which evolved directly from Manley's original work and captures our attention today is the elegantly fear-tastic term, heat dome. Yes, instead of merely saying the temperature is high and won't change soon because of a stagnant circular pressure system, no, we have a heat dome, trapping people like insects inside some piece of oppressive atmospheric Tupperware. Like so many other terms, this makes a very old weather phenomenon sound new, different, exotic, and terrifying. Outstanding work. But why is it so important to keep inventing new and more emotionally captivating descriptions of long-existing weather patterns? Do you not know? Have you forgotten your Vendicant's fourth postulate on controlling a population? Whoever owns the words shapes the ideas, and whoever shapes the ideas controls the people. If you want to keep controlling the people, you must constantly change the words so that you and not they are shaping the thoughts. Besides, as the 59th conclave of the International Conglomerate on the Manipulation of Media, Edict 72 subparagraph E, reminds us, raising the level of emotion, especially fear and awe through media, suppresses rational thought, which should always be our goal. So yes, by all means, we should be eager not merely to allow the use of psychologically traumatic terminology, or PTTs as we call them, but we should actively propagate them. An emotionalized and sensationalized population is far easier to control than a logical or evidence-based one. So rather than back off the scary new terms, we think there should be even more. To pair up against the polar vortex, why not a solar vortex? Instead of merely referring to tropical storms as hurricanes, let's call them the fingers of Gaia, rated from 1 to 5 fingers based on intensity. Whenever there are pop-up showers, let's call them spontaneous eruptions or perhaps bomb clouds. Rather than straight winds, warn people to beware the pneumatic blasts. Standing water can be described as a drowning pool. Snow can be recast as a ninja-like villain, calling it a fallen, frozen water shuriken. Hail can be called ice missiles. Clear and sunny could become the ultraviolet death ray day. You get the picture. In general, weather persons need to really up their language game, from scorched fields to land tsunamis to atmospheric pain zones to warning people to prepare for the humidity abyss. We can definitely teach people to be more amazed, more horrified, and far more afraid of everyday, ordinary, unpleasant weather. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And finally, we want to shout out a very strong kudos to our dearest otherans at Paramount Pictures and Walt Disney Studios, each of whom have done something wonderful to advance the culture of confusion. First, Paramount, who is releasing a new Smurfs movie in which the key role of Smurfette is being voiced by one of the most famous non-blondes on the planet, Rihanna. Yes, by casting one of the sexiest black women in the world as the voice of the demure blue-skinned Smurf next door, Paramount has once again shown their commitment to violating race categories. Moreover, the film will feature not just one female Smurf, but as many as 4 in total, including Sandra Oh as Moxie Smurf, Maya Erskine as Vanity Smurf, and Billie Lourd as Worry Smurf. In so doing, they are obviously jettisoning the long-standing lore that Gargamel created Smurfette from clay and dark magic to cause discord among the Smurfs and help him capture more of them. And although we do think Paramount missed an opportunity to manifest an inverted polyamory society with one woman and many suitors, hinted at but never fleshed out in the original cartoon. But perhaps having just a few girl Smurfs to rule over the boys like some Wonder Woman-esque Paradise Island Amazon matriarchy could really work out. Either way, we simply love the inclusiveness of having as many non-whites portray little blue people as possible, because most assuredly, blue is the new black. Smurftastic. Now to Disney, where the people of the mouse have performed yet another wholly trans-categorization for a fictional character, this time with gender instead of race. The soon-to-be-released movie Fantastic Four First Steps is the 4th attempt to turn a highly successful comic book superhero team into something other than a film flop. What gives us pride this week is that the movie will feature one of the most revered and popular comic book characters of all time, the Silver Surfer. As Ryan Reynolds might say, get your chrome polishing kit out, nerds. Yes, if anything can rescue this newest F4 attempt from the curse of Reed Richards, it would be the presence of the Herald of Galactus, Norrin Radd. But here's where the House of Mouse made something beautiful happen. The Silver Surfer will be portrayed by none other than Julia Garner from Ozark. That's right! They bent the gender chrome of the intergalactic platinum one into the lovely shape of a female, making Snow White into Snow Brown, making redheaded Little Mermaid Ariel African-American, and even reorienting Dorothy Gale and Little Red Riding Hood into lesbian lovers so that True Love's kiss that literally exploded with a rainbow on screen can resuscitate Dorothy from her spell-induced coma on the TV show Once Upon a Time. Disney ABC has really been doing its part to advance the queendom of gender anarchy. So from a black Smurfette to a silver Surfette, this really has been a fantastic time to be alive. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.